The content of this episode should not be confused with treatment advice or direction given from a mental health professional. Nothing contained in this podcast was made or intended to supplement or supersede relations with mental health providers or treatment. While Jeremy Levitt is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a mental health provider in this podcast. The same is considered for any professional that may appear on the show. Their views are solely their own and do not reflect any company or profession they may represent.
Welcome to Mind the Gap, where teens have a voice and parents learn to listen to that voice. Here we will talk with teens about their everyday challenges and accomplishments and learn what they are facing daily and what their needs are. As parents, we will learn valuable skills from a licensed marriage and family therapist on how to be aware of the gap in communication and close that gap. Welcome to Mind the Gap. We'd like to welcome everybody back to Mind the Gap, where teens talk, we listen. And today's going to be a fun topic. It's one that was recommended by a friend of mine, and I was asking for suggestions, and he said, hey, why don't you do a podcast on when your teen has different interests than you do? And I kind of thought, that's actually an interesting topic, because we have dealt with that in our family, and, you know, I don't know that we handled it the best way, but that's why I always love to pull Jeremy in to kind of correct us and help us.
Oh, that's the secret. There's no wrong way or right way. Oh.
So anyway, so we're gonna lead with that topic today, and we have Luke here with us again.
Hey guys.
And we have Clara.
Hey, happy to be here.
So we're excited to have them with us to get their insights.
I'm excited for their insights on this one, because I'm always like wondering how teens feel when we push stuff on them that they may or may not enjoy.
Yeah.
I texted you earlier today about it. Guess what my next session was? This topic.
No way.
That's legit. Hilarious. Yeah. It was funny.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah.
So it's something that obviously not just one person's thinking about. No. You know, it's out there.
It's definitely, we've experienced this a lot in our family for sure. And the worst is when you go against what your whole family is for. Like,
do you have an example?
Yeah, like me and Clara and like a lot of our other cousins, we don't like to show it, but sometimes we're not the biggest fans of sitting on a lake forever waiting for fish.
Oh, yeah. fishing is so boring.
See, sometimes we think the same thing and then our whole family is in love with it. And
I just don't get it.
What's wrong with them?
They don't get it.
It's like,
I don't even know.
And they do an Alaska trip like once a week. I'm like, yeah, once a year. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go, but like, I'd rather go on like a cruise in Alaska or something, you know?
Just sunbathe instead of fish.
Like, yeah, literally.
It's pretty like cold and windy up there. It's kind of miserable sometimes. And it's fish just in general.
It is pretty cool though sometimes. So it's like, sometimes you just have to like do it to make your family happy.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool experience, but I just don't share the same love for it as like, my grandpa.
That's very true. So this is what I love, because this is a perfect example of something that has been handed down for generations in my husband's family. They love to fish. They love to hunt. And it's not something that my two older boys have fallen in love with. And that's become a sense of tension in our family.
Yeah.
Dad wants to take them hunting, and he wants them to love it and get excited. And he wants to take them fishing and get excited. And they're just like, it's not that great.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so do they still go, or do they voice like, I don't want to go?
I mean, even if we voiced it, we'd still probably have to go. It's like, it's not, in the morning at the cabin for fishing, we usually like, sometimes if
you have to sleep somewhere where you can hide.
Yeah, where they won't wake you up and they can't find you.
Yeah, you have to sleep in a hiding place for the night.
So they don't wake you up at 4 a.m. to go fishing.
And they're just like, oh, well, I guess Luke's not going.
Yeah, you just sleep on the top bunk so they don't see you. Bunks.
Or if they wake you up, you just be like, I'm so tired, I literally cannot go. And then, you know, sometimes you get out of it.
Okay, so
I'm just dying laughing and thinking about all these early mornings.
Hiding, going to sleep in the corner underneath. You guys get pretty creative, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, earlier today I had these people I saw, and I think even maybe just the pandemic is making it a little bit more out there, I guess, because you're home with your kids all day, and it, maybe it's a little bit more relevant or a little bit more apparent of how differing parents and kids' likes and dislikes are. Like, I have a parent who's like, well, I just, you know, I like hanging out with my kid, but he just wants to play Minecraft all day. I want to go on a hike, or I want to go do this. And she can't, or dad can't get that kid away from the things they enjoy. So I'm interested from the teenager's perspective, when you guys are like in love with something, okay, like, has there ever been anything that you're just really passionate about that you love that your parents, it didn't feel like they were really interested in it at all?
Well, I mean, I guess I could say like longboarding. My parents aren't going to come longboarding with me.
Probably because I would crack my head open.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it, but it's not something we could really bond with, you know? Mm-hmm. Unless they want to, like, I mean, they could support me in it, and that'd be pretty cool.
Hey,
and they
I do. Did come with you in Austin one time.
Yeah,
and on I your rode bike. My bike.
So yeah, you just find ways around those things.
Okay. What about you, Clara?
Probably the same exact thing. Like, I really like to skateboard and longboard, and my family's just—it's just kind of like a thing I do, like on my own. And my family's like, "Oh, okay, like that's cool. Like you do your thing." They don't really like participate.
Yeah.
My parents have never like rode their bike with me while I ride my longboard.
Your aunt will.
I will.
Thanks, Sherry. You know what? You know what I'm there for? I'm there for the photo op.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Austin's like, "Hey, mom, get the camera ready." And so I'm on my bike with the camera, trying to ride my bike with the camera, getting a good shot.
The Elliptigo.
Yeah, maybe I had my Elliptigo.
I want to ride that thing. So something that I don't think teenagers get, or maybe they don't understand completely, is when we as parents are really invested in getting you to like something with us, it's because we have some nostalgia associated with it. Like, I have done Taekwondo forever, and I really wanted my eldest son, Noah, to get into it because that was something I could share with him. I could coach him. I could, you know, make him the greatest thing ever. And I don't, he didn't even test past white belt. Just not his thing. He yeah. didn't enjoy it. Right. But there are things that I encourage them to do, like rollerblading. I got him into rollerblading. I love rollerblading. And they seem to enjoy it too. So I'm glad they're willing to do that. So I'm also glad you guys are willing to go do these things with your parents and grandparents, like the fishing, because whether you like it or not, you're creating a shared meaning. And shared meanings are something that are really, really important in relationships, especially when you're married, but even when you're not married, when you just have normal relationships with people. Shared meanings are what make relationships. Mm-hmm. The more shared meanings you have, the more likely that relationship is to last into the years to come. So
yeah, it's like my dad really wanted me to play tennis. I'm like, okay, I'll go out and play with you. And now it's like, that's my sport. Like, I play tennis. Like, he coached me for like a whole year, and like, I guess that's how we bonded. But I mean, there's also some tension with it, you know, because it's yeah. like I'm playing with my father every day, but it's like,
and it's your dad's sport too, right?
Yeah, so it's like very passionate about it.
Well, I think we need to back up a couple years, because he's sounding like it was all, hey, let's go play tennis. And you were going, hey, that sounds like a great idea, Dad. No. For years, I think it was probably 2 or 3 years. Don't you think, Luke?
Probably.
It was probably 2 or 3 years that Nate was just, he just wanted somebody to play tennis. Because yeah. Austin was basketball, but Nate and I both played basketball. So yeah. that was a no-brainer for yeah. our firstborn son. It was like, oh, yeah, he's going to play basketball.
Yeah.
And then Luke didn't really show interest in basketball. And we were kind of like, okay, that's not his thing. And then Nate really, really wanted him to play tennis. And it was just a battle. It really was a battle for a few years.
Well, when he's trying to take me out like 6 a.m., like this is when I first started playing. He wanted to take me out like at 6 a.m. And I'm like,
before school.
Before school, literally. I'm like, no, I don't want to. But I still had to. And it just made me dislike tennis. So
yeah. So it kind of went the other way. Yeah. So it kind of pushed him the other way because it was being forced. But then I think as Luke saw he was getting better and it was easier to play a little bit more at his dad's level, they started to bond, you know, a yeah. little bit more with it. And now you love tennis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. It kind of worked out that way.
I kind of had like, I've had this similar experience, but with my mom. So my mom, like all growing up, she did dance. She even went to like college, like dance minor. And she, like, since I'm her first born child, she like had this like ideal like dance prodigy that she wanted me to wanted me to be. And she would teach me like when I was young, and I did it all the way to like, I think I did it even all the way to like fifth grade or something. And I like finally voiced my opinion. I'm like, Mom, I don't even like dance. And she would just sign me up anyway. Like I had no say. And once like she made the commitment, I was like, okay, well, I gotta go. I was just like, I don't know. I would like always tell her like, just please don't sign me up again. And like the next year she signs me up. But finally me and my mom, like, we found something that like we both like to do, which is tennis. We kind of have like a tennis family. And I guess like we can bond over that because we could play together, and we kind of started at like similar times. So we're like the same level. So it's really fun to play with her.
It's cool. You guys push through the any discomfort or hesitation and just gave it a shot. And I think that's great because teenagers can do that. When they're a little bit younger, it's like maybe Luke didn't have the maturity yet to do that, right? A couple years ago or a few years ago, but now he's able to push through that. So that's cool. And, you know, we're talking about teens here. So teens, if you're listening, like if your parents ask you to do something, give it a shot. Worst case, you don't like it after a month and you stop. Best case, you find something that you enjoy and you have something to share with your parents. It's really cool.
Yeah. I think we can go back about the story. I think we've talked about this with Austin with volleyball. Oh, and yeah. He was so mad.
Yeah.
And that first, he came back from that first practice and he was just like kind of angry and upset with us. And he went to the second practice and came back and goes, that was actually really fun. And now he like lives and breathes for volleyball, You know, beach volleyball and anything. Like he was working so hard this last year, his senior year for volleyball. So it was fun to watch that progression. And so sometimes as parents, I'm saying, maybe just trust us. Maybe give us a little bit of your trust And know that we're not going to force you to do something that we think you're going to fail at or that really won't be fun. But then on the flip side, I can see like my daughter Remington this year has decided to take a year off of dance. And it was actually hard for me because I've watched her dance for, 5 years.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me to let that go. And now she's playing tennis And she's loving it every day. She's like, is today my day for tennis? You know, so I'm glad that she's maybe finding her own little way.
Yeah, it's all about exploration and helping kids find their purpose. I mean, I don't think I haven't met a parent yet. I mean, I see stereotypical parents on like movies and TVs where like you have to play basketball and that's the only way and blah, blah, blah. Most parents I meet, they just want you to explore to find your purpose. And that's really all it's about.
Yeah. Another cool thing is if you could both find something new that you're starting together, that's like a really cool and something like that could really like form a bond between you guys too.
I started Taekwondo with my mom. I got to fight my mom. How cool is that?
That's pretty awesome.
Luke, you want to sign up?
No, thanks.
You don't want to fight me?
It was great.
No.
I mean, I was always better than her because I was a lot younger, but it was still fun to... Yeah. My mom's got some good hits
in. That's super cool, though.
Yeah, but it's like if me and my mom just totally got into, like, pool, if we just totally became, like, such good pool players, and we'd always, like, play each other. It's like we both tried something new, you know? We both found a like over it, you know?
So let's flip it for a second. What about parents who can't really get into what their kids are into? What do you think parents should do?
Just try it. Like
no, or
like,
just accept your kid
wanting to do that. I mean, both are right answers there. I have a client once who that kid would not get off Fortnite. And that was a problem, right? The kid was spending way too much on Fortnite. He was obviously passionate about it. But I encouraged mom, hey, man, just get in there one day and play with him. See why... You know, get some more insight into why this kid likes it so much. And so she took me up on it and played with him for an hour one night. And she came back and showed me, she's like, it was actually really fun. I really enjoyed it, right? I enjoyed spending time with him. And now it's something me and him, now through doing that, she gained a little bit of leverage in that she could, you know, negotiate a little bit more with him. Hey, I'll play with you tonight if you do this, 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 and this instead. Right. And she kind of used that to her advantage. The kid started playing like 50% less.
That's sweet.
That's really cool.
Just because she kind of understood it. I think part of it was because now mom was doing it. It wasn't as cool.
Maybe. Like,
but like because she understood it, she was better able to communicate to him about why maybe it wasn't good to play all the time. And I don't think parents do that enough. I don't think we as parents, and I'm guilty of it myself, I don't think we meet our kids' interests as much as we expect them to meet ours.
Yeah, I do think it's really cool when like a parent like plays a video game with you. I don't know. It's just like Mario Kart. We'd always play Mario Kart all the time.
I'm terrible, so they love to play with me because I'm a guaranteed loser.
Yeah.
It's always like, an easy place. Hey,
Mom,
play.
Mom, you want to play?
I'll play with my kids, but my wife won't play with us generally. We usually play the violent game, so she doesn't want to play.
I think that's so true. I love that point that you made, that I think parents do need to come to the kids' interest as well. And it's not, and I think that's swallowing your pride a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, I played sports growing up my whole life. From the time I could walk, it was all I did was play basketball and baseball with my family, my dad. That's just what we did, basketball and baseball. And my dad was super involved. I have seven brothers.
Yeah.
And so that's all I really knew growing up was sports. And so I assumed that all my kids would kind of be the same. And then, so I had two boys and then I had a girl and I thought, oh, okay, what am I going to do with this little girl? You know? And then she grew up and she was so dainty and she was so princessy. And I was just like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with her. Anyway, she started leaning towards dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the decision that I made when I signed her up for dance. And I thought, actually, I'm really excited because I know how intense I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how intense I was with my two boys with pushing them in basketball. And I didn't want to have that relationship with my daughters because I thought I will be so hard. You know, my boys could handle it.
Yeah.
And maybe I shouldn't have had that thought. But I thought, I really actually love the fact that I know nothing about dance, so I can't correct them.
I'm learning it with her.
And yeah. I can't say, hey, you suck at that, you know, mm-hmm. or you're really bad, or you had such a bad performance. I just think they look amazing on stage, and they're so cute. So I don't have any say in correcting them and coming down on them. But with the boys, I think they're getting a little bit more because Dad does play tennis, so he does a lot of corrections. And Nate and I both played basketball. So Austin, all growing up, was like, we did the sandwich method right after each game. So you did this and this and this, great. And then we would just go into the meat of like, you should have done this. You should have done that. You should have done this, you know. And then it was like, okay, well, let's, you know, follow it up with
more positive.
More positive, yeah.
Literally after every tennis practice, Clara knows my dad comes up, asks, where do you place on the team? Like, how, like, are you ready for the next level?
Yeah, he even asked me, he's like, Clara, how good is Luke? I'm like, he's doing good. He's like, but how good is he? Like, compared to everybody, like, what is his,
on
like,
a scale of 1
he's
to 10?
Like, what is his, like, percentage of, like, goodness on the day? And I'm like, all I can say, he's doing good. Like,
Dad's competitive, huh?
Actually, when we just walked in, like, because me and Luke just had tennis, like, right before this, we walked in and Nate was like, you guys are still at the same level? I'm like, oh, we're getting better. He's like, how come you guys haven't moved up? I'm like, we're getting better.
Fine, I'll just keep paying for the same classes. I'm like,
yeah, every time I see him, like, you guys getting better? Like, is Luke doing good? Who's the best? And he's just asking all
who's
these
better?
Questions.
He always asks, how about us two? Who's better? Every time we're the same level.
He's ultra competitive.
Can you beat Dad yet?
No.
No.
It's like not even possible.
We would like play these games where like in the like, you just imagine like a hot like middle of summer day, and we like had this one and a half hour lesson, and he's like, okay, if you guys can hit like 10 of my serves in, we could be done and let's go get Slurpees. But you can't even hit his serves in.
You're there for an extra hour.
Yeah, you're like there for another 30 minutes.
A lucky shot.
All right, so I'm interested, Luke, is there an interest that you had growing up as a kid that you wanted your parents to be more involved in?
I mean, I didn't really care if my parents were involved in the stuff I liked,
because
it was just like, I'll do whatever I want.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there anything that, like, maybe if they would have, like, not pushed you more, but been more involved in, that maybe you would have explored more?
Probably art. If, like, you guys were really into art, I probably would have been even more into art, because when I was a kid, I used to totally, like, I'd draw all these really cool photos and pictures, and I just, like, my parents were like, oh, yeah, that's really cool, but it's like, and then, I mean, I guess they tried to get me, like, art supplies, but I'm like, I don't really know anything about art, so it's like, I can't do much, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm sure if, like, they were, like, involved in it, and then they wanted me to do it, they would, like, pushed it more, you know? Mm-hmm. I probably would have gotten more into that, but.
Cool.
I think that's a really good point, Luke, because we did one Christmas, like he got a ton of art supplies because mm-hmm. he had just all of a sudden developed this love for art, and we're like, cool, easy Christmas Let's gift, do it, right? Yeah. We just went and loaded up on all these art supplies, but then that was it. Like we just gave them to him. And hindsight, yeah, like I guess maybe getting you into some art classes or, you know, helping yeah. you develop that. Like that's not something that I ever thought of. We just sort of like, here's your supplies, go have at it.
Well, I think that delineates a really good point here. It's not that our job as parents is to push our likes and or dislikes onto our kids. It's to help them explore everything, really, right? And obviously we want them to explore our likes, and so that's where we probably start, right? But maybe it's art, maybe it's this. Our job isn't to label any of them as right or wrong. It's to let them get curious. Maybe we get curious with them if we have no idea what this, like, I don't know anything about art, right? So I'd be learning right along with them and just letting the kid explore, getting curious with your kids. If you want to talk about what your job as a parent is in this area, just getting curious with them, let them be curious within reason, right? Like we can't, you know, try all the sports every season, right? And there is some benefit to sticking something out. So like if you're not into it after 2 months, well, sorry, you committed to the season. You got to stick that out, but getting really exploratory with your kids.
Yeah. I also want to know, like, what's something that I did as a kid that you didn't like?
Ooh, good question.
Didn't want me to do.
Good question.
Pokemon.
Catch them all.
That's such a good one. Gotta catch them all. I was so into that.
Buying those stupid cards. Oh.
Did you actually play the game or did you just collect the cards?
No, we played the DS games, me and Austin.
And like, I even got it. I think you did it at school too, didn't you? Didn't you take it to school?
We would trade them at school.
So it was like every time you go to the store, right?
I need a pack.
Yes. And I'm just like, who invented Pokemon? I'm going to find this guy.
it was, looking back, it was so stupid.
But maybe it wasn't, you know, but it was something fun. But I did. I would buy him the cards.
Yeah.
And then they would stack up in my house. We still have them. And Soren gets them out. And they're all over Soren's the floor.
Getting into it.
And now they're just a mess. And then Soren's like, hey, Mom, watch this guy. He can attack this guy. And he does all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know what you're doing. But
evolved Charizard.
Yeah. Thing. Like, I just throw cards at Soren and he just laughs at me. I don't know what I'm doing. But maybe that's, I think, but like with Luke, because Austin played basketball, so we started Luke in basketball. Yeah. I think he played 2 seasons of basketball, and you did a couple seasons of soccer. And we just realized, like, he's not loving it.
Yeah.
And so we just let it go because it was kind of like we just saw this is not his thing, you know, and we didn't know what his thing was. And so it took us a while. And now, I mean, he does play volleyball. He likes volleyball now. And he's playing tennis and he really loves that, though. And you still are good at art. Like, we bought you a ton of arts. Yeah. He learned how to do that spray paint art. Oh,
like the planets and stuff.
Yeah.
That looks cool.
He's done a couple that are amazing.
They're
super cool.
Acrylic pour. I'll bring the stuff one week and we'll do one.
Oh, that'd be really
it's cool. You use a blowtorch too. Like, it's awesome.
That's super cool.
I love it.
Yeah, so he's watched some videos and, you know, he'll come show me and I'm like, that's so cool. And so we went and bought him a bunch of paint supplies. You know, mm-hmm. So you do love art.
And another important thing is piano, I'd say.
This is the ongoing battle. We've talked about this before.
when I still don't enjoy piano that much because I just hate practicing.
That much or at all?
That much.
Okay, so you do enjoy it?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes. It's like I hate practicing. It's not fun until I know the song. So it's like, and I hate going to lessons every week just because I'd be like, I don't want to go. Like, it's not fun at all.
It's just time out of his day.
That you'd rather be playing Pokemon?
Yeah.
Definitely not now.
Yeah. My mom tried to force, like, me playing the piano because I guess, like, my mom's childhood, like, they had to, like, do piano lessons, like, when they were a kid. And I think I did it for like 2 years and I felt like I learned nothing. I'm like, I suck and I've been doing this for 2 years and I could only play like Mary Had a Little Lamb. And then finally I was like, Mom, like, please don't. But she was still making me do it. But then my piano teacher moved. So I probably would still be doing piano to this day. But
I think most kids, if it's a situation like this where you just really don't enjoy it, and it's just not you're not vibing with it, right? I think most kids, if the parents don't recognize it, the kids will tell them in a way real fast. And I'll give you an example just from my life. So before I did taekwondo, I did gymnastics. And I was little, like, I don't know, maybe like 5. And I was pretty dang good. Like, according to my mom, like, I was good. They kept moving me up. So I was with like the 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds. And then one day they asked me to do like a back handspring on the beam as like a little 5-year-old. And I was freaked out. And looking back, I had anxiety then, right? I realize I have anxiety now. I didn't know that back then. And I kept saying no. I kept saying no. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So I got kicked out of gymnastics by punching the gymnastics teacher in the face when she asked me to do it. Yeah, that's why I started taekwondo.
So I guess you could transition. Get out of it somehow.
Yeah, eventually kids are going to sabotage it, right? I'm going to punch my piano. Kids, do not punch your teacher.
I'll get out of it.
I'll just find you a new one, Luke.
Oh, dang it.
Hulk Hogan.
Punch them all.
So I think this is a topic that we've discussed before, and I'm willing to let go of some things, and I've mentioned that before. Music is one thing that I'm not willing to let go for each of the kids, and because I've told my kids, like, you do all your sports and all your activities. Those are things that you're doing for yourself.
Yep.
And this is one thing that you can give back to me is the talent and practicing. I love listening to my kids play. I mean, it's something for me that I just love seeing my kids sit at the piano or at the violin. And I just really love it. And so I've negotiated with the kids all from the time they were little. I'm like, this is one thing that you're going to give back to mom for all the things that I do for you. Mm-hmm. And they've all been willing.
And it's so good for them, too. Like, I don't think you guys realize how good it is for your brain.
That's what I hear all the time.
It is so good for your brain.
I mean, it's like, it'll be really good to know how to play when you're older.
Oh, no, forget. You throw all that away, right? That is true, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately, that's still serving other people, right? But it's causing all kinds of changes in your brain that are just going to benefit you in all other ways. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so my mother-in-law, I guess I had a brother-in-law that when he was younger, he was struggling to read. Mm-hmm. And so someone had told her to get him into piano. And he started to take piano lessons. Yeah. And within a few years, it was amazing the difference between his reading with once he started playing the piano. And so I kind of always remember that in the back of my mind. And I thought, it is, especially like my daughter's playing the violin. It is so complicated. Claire, you played the violin for a few years. Yeah. It's really complicated.
It is, yeah.
I mean, it's not just the positioning of the fingers.
It's like moving the bow, reading the notes all at the same time.
Putting the bow at the right angle.
Elbow has to be your angle. Your wrist is a certain angle.
It is like miserable to listen to Alyssa sometimes. Like some of her, when she's practicing, it doesn't even sound like a song.
Yeah.
It literally doesn't even sound like music.
But that's the same when Vivian is trying to practice her flute. And we have, our rooms are right next to each other, so...
You just start playing some Jethro Tull for Vivian and see if she can start replicating it. Jethro Tull is amazing. Sorry, nerding out for a second.
I love it. Yeah, so but I think it's something that all the kids have been willing to do, even though sometimes I think we're beyond the tears. I think for a few years with Alyssa, there were tears literally every day. And people kept saying to me, why are you making her do this? And I was like, because she's going to love it someday and she's going to be really grateful that she has a talent. And it's good for her brain. Yep. And Alyssa's one who was struggling with reading and math. And I've just seen her as she progresses with the violin. She's progressing in school.
Yeah, just so many
and
good changes.
There's so many things that, with that brain development that I think are really good for her. So in Remington, she's fighting me with practicing the piano. But I know she's following Luke's footsteps.
So. I do think it's really cool to show off my piano skills to friends, though. You know, or when like family comes over, it's like, listen to this, you know, and you just play this whole song and they're like, that was so good. And it's like, I
love it. I love it. See,
so, you know, I didn't grow up playing and I didn't do that. So that was never an interest that I had, but I knew that I wanted my kids to develop that talent.
Yeah, that's why I'm always like, you turned out fine. You never played the piano.
I love when he says that. Well, you turned out fine. I'm like, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever she like wants me to do something, I'm like, you didn't do that when you were younger. You turned out fine.
I'm glad he thinks I turned out okay, though.
That's good. That's a good thing.
He doesn't think I'm a total failure.
Have you learned not to argue with mom yet? It doesn't necessarily ever work, does it?
I don't know.
You can negotiate, but arguing never works. Counterpoints don't work with moms, generally.
Totally.
Because then they just go, do it because I said so. Yeah, and then, yeah whatever.
Then there's no.
Or if they're talking about my school, I'm like, Mom, you got some C's too. And she's like, and I'm like, you turned out fine.
Have you ever learned? I'm gonna teach you a little trick here. Have you ever learned the Overton window? Do you know what the Overton window is?
No.
It's a negotiation tactic, okay? So let's say.
Wait, plug yours, Mom.
Yeah.
Mom already knows. She uses it.
Yeah.
She uses this on you.
I don't even know it.
Right? So imagine, like, let's say you want 5 candy bars, okay? And Mom is willing to give you 2 candy bars, okay? You start out saying, Mom, I want 15 candy bars, right? Knowing you only want 5. And then Mom is more like, she's like, how about 3? And you go, maybe 10. And then Mom goes, how about 5? Okay, I can take 5. Right? The Overton window is, master negotiators use it.
Yeah.
You learn how to use that with Mom.
Sign me up for 0 piano lessons. How about 10? Okay, fine. Whatever.
So this is with the future stuff. You're screwed with piano lessons. That's, you're already in it, man. You lost your ability to negotiate there.
You should have negotiated when you were really little, Luke. Hey, I did tell him though if he could play Claire de Lune.
Yeah.
And 10 hymns.
Claire de Lune is really hard.
Austin played Claire de Lune last year. But maybe
I should like every week I go to piano just only practice.
That's all we're doing.
I told him. I said I am fine with that. You got 10 hymns.
But then
you have to know 10 hymns and Claire de Lune, and then you can quit. And he was like, no, that's not.
That'd be so miserable. Playing one song my whole life, you could forever.
Well, but if the skills you learn from getting to a point where you can play Claire de Lune will transpose into other songs,
exactly.
Yeah.
So,
but I feel like
I knew he wouldn't take me up on the offer, so that's why I offered it.
I literally feel like I've been at the same stage in piano for like 2 years now.
Maybe you're not challenging yourself.
No, my teacher isn't challenging me.
Why are you relying on your teacher?
Because he doesn't practice.
Because she chooses my music. She doesn't progress him.
Why don't you pick a harder piece?
I just did, I guess.
Did you?
I just started it. Right. But when she chooses our recital songs, which is basically all we do at practice, she basically chooses them, and I've had like the intermediate level for like a year and a half.
I have a song for you that you can start playing. I'll show you after.
Okay.
All right. It's amazing. I want to learn how to. It's one of the reasons I want to learn how to play piano. I never will. I'm too lazy.
Yeah. Actually, a reason I've actually been practicing a lot more is because we got a new piano.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piano.
We got a baby grand.
Practicing a lot more.
It's so fun. And that was my motivation for getting it because I thought if I get this piano, the kids are going to practice. Yeah. And I love it. Yeah.
And Austin was the one that really wanted it too.
And now he's moved.
He begged for a baby grand piano for years. And then because he wanted the piano in his room. So then he could practice late at night and not keep anybody awake.
Mm-hmm.
And we just never found one that we loved, but we found one recently that we fell in love with, so we got it.
And now the piano's in your room, Luke. It's
in my room, but I didn't even play that one that much. Because it's like, why would I play that one when we have this one?
Yeah, it's a true story. Okay, so I'm glad we've had this conversation. I mean, I know I've learned a few things and about... You know, joining my kids with their interests and meeting them, not even just halfway, but just like getting them more involved and learning what they like and letting them explore more of what they like and not so much what I like. I think something I've always told Nate is we have to let the kids take this journey. This is their journey. Mm-hmm. We've already lived our youth and we have to let them live their youth. And so sometimes we have to take a step back and go, this is what they want to do just because it's not something that we like.
Just because it's Pokemon.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Lucas. I never got involved in Pokemon. Yeah,
honestly, I don't blame you. You should have stopped it.
Well, here's the thing. And the other side benefit of doing what you just explained there, Sherry, is, I mean, just imagine how much more, I'm trying to think of the right word, but how much more efficient's the wrong word. Holy cow. I can't think of the right word. Just think about how much more beneficial your negotiations and your communication and your bond is going to be with your kid. Like if you guys are, if you're sharing the things that they enjoy, I mean, when you have a bond and when you guys have those shared meetings, they're going to hear what you're saying better. They're going to take your advice better. Like you're getting so much more benefit out of that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And I think, Sherry, when you said like, we have to like live our own youth. I feel like sometimes my mom like signs me up for these things just because, like, when I do them, she feels like she's like a teenager all over again.
Same with my dad.
Like, when in seventh grade, I joined the cheer team, and like my mom was like jumping off the walls. Like, she was even doing the cheers like on the stand. I'm like, Mom, just watch, please. Oh,
no. She was way more
like,
excited.
Yeah,
about
she
that
was
than
definitely yeah way more excited than me. And I was like happy to do that for her for 1 year because it was like,
she enjoyed
really
it.
Nice. Yeah,
I'm sure
and
you then, got like, something out of it. Yeah.
And then freshman year, like, I tried out for the basketball team, and my dad was like, "Oh, this is so awesome! Like, I have a daughter playing basketball." Then I just like stopped playing the next year, but it was like good to see them like super happy about it for a short bit.
It's like our parents want us to relive their childhood. It's like my dad and I'm sure your mom, like, mm-hmm. everything they did as a child, they want us to do.
Yeah.
Because they loved it.
Yeah.
And then they want you to love it because they knew how much they loved it.
I can imagine, like, I'd want my, like, children to play tennis, you know, grow up because I love it.
Our
so
kids
much.
Are definitely going to longboard.
Yeah, I'm actually going to teach my kids how to skateboard.
What if your kids hate it?
They're going to
have
to.
They're not going to hate it.
Yeah, see, now here we go.
Who's going to hate that?
I'm going to teach them how to, like, snowboard, surf, like, so they're really cool.
We got to, like, get a boat.
My dad loves sports. I hate him.
Well, our kids.
I'm probably the biggest disappointment to my dad because I don't want to watch baseball. Like, he must want baseball.
I always think it's funny when I hear about, like, when you guys say, "Well, my kids are going to do this," and you know, I thought the same thing. But again, I hope you guys maybe come back to listen to this podcast later, and you're like, "Oh, wait a minute."
Yeah, me, Austin, Luke, and Vivian, like, all have like planned out our lives. We're all going to live like in the same neighborhood. Where all of our kids are going to be the same age, and we're all going to buy a boat together, and we're going to teach them how to surf. Like,
we're going to get a cabin together too.
Yeah, we just have our whole lives.
I love it.
I hope your spouses are okay with
that's
this.
What I keep telling.
They're going to have to be okay.
I love it. So,
You guys keep that mindset going though. Keep that mindset of like, I want to build this world for my kids where they can, because that's really what you're talking about. You just want your kids to be able to explore and provide as many opportunities for them to explore as possible. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what it's important. I think it's important to listen to your kids. And again, going back to that's the whole our whole topic here is that we want our kids to be able to have that freedom to be able to come to us and express their feelings and concerns, and for us as parents to listen. Because I can't imagine if one of my kids came to me with wanting to do something and I just shut them out.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, that would just be so detrimental to your relationship. Yeah. So parents, make sure that you're taking that time to listen to your kids, listen to their interests and their wants and their desires, and join them. I love that. Yeah. I think that's what
I'm thinking of going into Pokemon again, Mom.
Pokemon Go. Go do Pokemon Go. At least it's active.
Yeah.
No, I literally see kids at the park doing this. They're like so weird.
Not just kids. There's adults out there.
Oh, adults are
like full-grown adults just like walking on their phone and like, in like the park.
Hey, maybe let's just do it one day and just see. Maybe we'll love it. Maybe
I don't want to.
Kids, a little kids will love it.
Even if I love it, that'll be even worse.
Soren would love it.
I'm sure he would.
You'd hunt Pokemon all over the house.
Oh, Soren would love it.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, thanks for your time. We always appreciate you guys coming back and listening to us. And again, if you ever have any thoughts or comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any topic ideas, shoot them to us and we'd love to cover them. So Luke, Clara, thanks so much for coming. I know you guys were tired after your tennis practice, so we're glad that you guys could come.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
And we're always grateful to learn from Jeremy and all of his wisdom in keeping us in check.
Or not so much wisdom. Just.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you'd like to reach out to us, we can be found on Facebook at mindthegap-teenstalkwelisten or on Instagram at mindthegap.we listen.